Weather. Sapnaha. A dream. Etat.
All this.
Utat. Or otherwise.
Devamaya.
An illusory manifestation of the external energy. Kimba.
Or else.
Madiaha.
My personal.
Mata.
Indeed.
Mudimoha. Illusion of intelligence. Ato.
Otherwise.
Amusha.
Of such.
Eva.
Indeed.
Mama Arvakasha,
of my child,
Yaha,
which,
Kasjana,
some,
Opatikaha,
natural,
Atma Yoga,
personal mystic power.
So, translation. Mother Yashoda began to argue within herself. Is this a dream? Or is it an illusory creation by the external energy? Has this been manifested by my own intelligence? Or is it some mystic power of my child? So you can repeat. Mother Yashoda began to argue within herself.
Mother Yashoda began to argue within herself.
Is this a dream?
Is this a dream?
Or is it an illusion? Or is it an illusory creation?
Or is it an illusory creation?
By the external energy.
By the external energy.
Has this been manifested?
By my own intelligence.
Or is it some mystic power?
Or is it some mystic power
of my child?
Of my child.
To purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. When Mother Yashoda saw this wonderful manifestation within the mouth of her child, she began to argue within herself about whether it was a dream. Then she considered, I am not dreaming because my eyes are open. I am actually seeing what is happening. I'm not sleeping, nor am I dreaming. Then maybe this is an illusion created by Deva Maya. But that is also not possible. What business would the demigods have showing such things to me? I am an insignificant woman with no connection with the demigods. Why should they take the trouble to put me into Deva Maya? That also is not possible. Then Mother Yashoda considered whether the vision might be due to bewilderment. I am fit in health. I am not diseased. Why should there be any bewilderment? It is not possible if my brain is deranged, since I am ordinarily quite fit to think. Then this vision must be due to some mystic power of my son, as predicted by Garga Muni. Thus she finally concluded that the vision was due to her son's activities and nothing else. So Kim Swapli Tad Udhari Raya Kim Ram Yo Matadu Dimoa Ato Mus Jayura Mamara Vakasha Yal Kastin All Potika Atma Yoga. So Om Ganat Madanda Shah Gananjana Shalakaya Chatsurun Miditam Yena Tasmai Shi Gurave. So remember that Mother Yashoda is a pure devotee, and therefore she's not subject to the frailties that the rest of us are subjected to. Sorry if I'm committing an offense against an impure devotee in this room, but anyway. But the rest of us, including yours truly, are subjected to the four defects of the conditioned soul. And the defects are as follows: that we have imperfect senses. In other words, I mean, they're really imperfect. I mean, without the glasses, I can't read. Of course, fortunately, because I had cataract surgery, I can better deceive with. Anyway, but without the glasses, I can't read, and then anyway, there's so many people with eye diseases, so many people with blind, but their senses are very much conditioned upon different situations, you know, whether the nervous system is functioning properly or whether one's had a stroke or whatever, the active sense or the perceptive sense. So anyway, so our senses are imperfect. We don't see things that are existing, but we do see things that are not existing. And so another problem that we have is that we have a tendency to be disillusioned. What does that mean? We think and identify ourselves with this material world and the upadis, the designations that we have. Designations like, you know, I'm American, or I'm male or female. I mean, even you see this sometimes on in the higher echelons of ISKCON where people are arguing, you know, male-woman type of things, men-woman type of things, you know, women can't be doing because of the body. You know, actually, other than the class this morning, Prabhupada says there is no impediment in devotional service. Anybody can become a devotee. Prabhupada was talking about even, he said, you boys and girls, you know, come from an interesting background. You can become Krishna conscious in this lifetime. That's the problem. You have to follow the rules and regulations and, you know, follow the order of the spiritual path, and it's going to happen. Don't worry about it. So, anyway, tendency to be illusion, and another thing was we make mistakes. And as one devotee one time told me, he said the only mistake he ever made is he thought he made a mistake. Because hopefully he was joking. I'm not sure. So, you know, all make mistakes. And then, of course, the last one is the cheating propensity. So basically, because of these defects, we actually see things or think things or come to conclusions or even have faith in things that are not real. And we don't have faith in things that are real. Of course, Krishna Gita says that if one desires to have some faith in some particular entity, Krishna actually makes your faith strong. Just like you see, I mean, with, you know, different politicians or different religious leaders who are obviously not up to snuff. Sorry about that expression. The people are just like, you know, just like, he's their cynosure for all their eyes, and, you know, just like, wow, why do they trust these people? Because Krishna's actually in the heart, because their desire is reciprocating with their particular desire. So we have to be very careful about accepting things or thinking things that may not be real. You know, so even in Krishna consciousness, there's this one interesting story where one devotee went to Prabhupada. He was actually hearing things or seeing things. I forget the exact story. He went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I'm seeing this or hearing this. Prabhupada, you know, he was thinking, you know, Prabhupada was going to affirm that, yes, you're having a spiritual experience. And Prabhupada said, no, just keep on chatting, it'll go away. Yeah, so, and just like, you know, I have my own illusory experience, several, is one of many. In Krishna consciousness, one time I was at Govardhan and I was hearing a flute. And I thought, oh, Krishna's flute, you know, wow. Now I've really achieved perfection. And then I discovered it was just some Bollywood song that was playing on the loudspeakers of where I live. You know, it's just like, oh my God, what's happening? So, and then of course we have these dreams that are so real, and we take them very seriously. I mean, sometimes the spiritual master does appear in the dreams, like he appeared to Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared to Srila Prabhupada and said to Prabhupada, you know, come with me, take sannyasa. Prabhupada said he was horrified. And that was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And there's this interesting story about Shyamananda. When Shyamananda, got his name, Shamananda. He was Dukhi Krishnadas before. He got his name directly from Radharani. That's pretty good. Who gave you your name, Radharani? Anyway, so... But he didn't really want to tell that story. So he and Srila Jiva Goswami came out with this whole story that Shyamananda's spiritual master, Hridaya Chaitanya, had given Shyamananda his name in a dream. And so when Shyamananda's spiritual master, Hridaya Chaitanya, heard about this, he said, "That was not a dream, it's just an illusion." And he was right, there was no such dream. But it wasn't that Shyamananda was thinking that there was such a dream, it's just that, you know, he didn't want to just tell everybody that he had gotten his name from Srimati Radharani. So anyway, so the spiritual master confirmed that, you know, don't believe in dreams all the time. And then he proceeded at a particular point to beat up his disciple for believing in a dream. Anyway. And then he had another dream. The spiritual master had a dream. And in that dream, Lord Chaitanya appeared to him, all bloodied or something like that. And said, "Why have you beaten up your disciple?" And he understood he had made a mistake. So, in other words, we shouldn't really trust dreams or trust things we see or don't see. Because we have all these frailties of the conditioned soul. So what Yashodamai is going through here, we should also think like that about ourselves when we're experiencing something. I mean, sometimes we experience great ecstasy and think, "Oh, really, I'm now advanced in devotional service," or, you know, "I have no more material desires until I step out of the temple room." So we should actually think like this. This is a dream, like somebody's talking. "Boy, Krishna's smiling at me." Krishna may be smiling at you. Or Krishna may be really displeased with you. You may be just projecting your own conceptions upon the deity in this particular case. So anyway, so we should develop a healthy distrust for even the things we see. Not that we have, what is it, cognitive dissonance, that we actually are so distrustful, thinking that actually, what is it called, solipsism, that actually you all may be illusions in my mind. You know, I mean, obviously, I mean, there's a certain basic thing that we have to trust. Of course, we see that people, many people are mentally ill, and they are perceiving things, they're seeing things, and talking to people that don't exist. It was like there was that one movie, "A Beautiful Mind." You saw that movie? And it was about someone who really was, you know, seeing people who didn't exist. And so what he had to function on, this is Krishna consciousness, don't worry, I'm not too much of my right now. He had to function on the intelligence platform, knowing that he had imperfect senses, knowing the propensity to be illusioned, and knowing that that was illusion for him. I mean, it's a material example, of course. That was illusion, those people he was seeing. So in the movie, he actually walks by the people and just basically ignores them, isn't it? At the end. You know, they're there, but he ignores them. So it's like our attraction to this illusory energy. You know, seeing some beautiful thing. Like, you know, I also was listening to a class this morning. Prabhupada was talking about the attraction between men and women. Prabhupada said that's the greatest snare, Maya. Oh my God. And so, obviously, I'm probably talking about, you know, how a young man is attracted. I mean, Prabhupada was talking about, even if you try to fight it, and sometimes, even when you're young in the dreams, you're dreaming about different things. You know, it happens in the dreams. I'm not going to ask who has those dreams. Some romantic dreams. So, but we just have to understand, that's illusion. and attraction. The person is an illusion. You know, it's not that, like some young brahmachari would go by and say, you're illusory. You're Maya Devi. Not Maya Devis. For the Maya is our own illusion, but identify what the illusion is. So how do you do that? The question is, how do you do that having imperfect senses and tendency to cheat? Tendency to, you know, be an illusion. Like that. I mean, how do you do that? You know, how do you say goodbye to those illusions? Just like in the case of this person who had mental illness and was seeing things, at least the doctor was able to explain to him, this is all illusory. So we have doctors too in the Krishna Consciousness Movement. That's devotees, the advanced devotees, spiritual master. And the Vedic literatures, who can explain. That's why we have to do something. This Prabhupada also mentioned this morning when I was listening. It's very nice. I listened to Prabhupada at least a half an hour with that. That's the advantage of being early. You can have channel your japa, hear Prabhupada, do your deity worship, and what else? Check your email. All before class in the morning. So, anyway, so. So Prabhupada was saying we have the advantage of the Vedic literature. Prabhupada used the term shastra chakshus. In other words, that's not imperfect vision anymore. To see things through the eyes of shastra. And to doubt other things. Just like, yesterday I was checking the news and I was reading about the scientist's latest theory about, I'm trying to remember what that theory was. There's so many different crazy theories they come up with all the time. How there's a reflected reality on the subatomic platform. I'm not talking about the atomic, the higher platform or whatever, this macrocosmic platform. The microcosmic, there's a reflected, in the atomic structure, there's actually like a reflection. I'm not going to explain what it is. It's not important for class. So, you have all these theories, Big Bang, the steady state, all these things, and then you just see through shastra. The main thing is not to understand all the details, whether the scientists got it right or wrong this particular time, but to understand, like Krishna says in the Gita, in the 10th chapter, what is the use of all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment, I maintain this cosmic fragment of my potency, I maintain this cosmic manifestation. So in other words, to understand the purpose behind everything. And the scientists, I remember reading about the scientists say that we've just come up with this new theory, and that's all right because we had this other theory before, and as we discover more, we'll come up with other theories that are contradictory, the standard model or whatever. And so the whole idea is to see things through shastra. Not that we have to understand all this detailed knowledge, whether it's right or wrong. So anyway, as far as our own, let's say, feelings, perceptions, realizations, to always verify them with higher authority, the more advanced devotees. Not just like have some realization, I just realize, that Krishna also plays a guitar. Or, one devotee. Oh my God. So one devotee thought, well, sometimes we should dress the deities in blue jeans because. And one temple they did, actually. And they gave Krishna a mobile phone and everything like that. Bhagavihari temple. Just do things according to Shastra and see Shastra Chakshus. So anyway, Mother Yashoda is not a conditioned soul. And so she is not an illusion Of course, it's Yogamaya, not Mahamaya, not Devamaya, as described here. But still, you know, she's exhibiting some humility. So we should learn from her expressions here and, you know, have some humility as far as our own realizations. You know, she's doubting here. Is it Devamaya? Why should they do this? Is this a dream? Is it my mental problem? Am I having mental problems? No, I don't really have mental problems. I'm not diseased. It's not possible that my brain is deranged. Therefore, it must be coming from him, my son. But she hasn't come to the conclusion that he's God. She just thinks, you know, he has the mystic power. That's all. And anyway, she's going through these various things. So any questions or comments, we'll keep it short. Yes?
So just how this whole thing played out in this particular purport, and knowing that you know that Prabhupada has said that Krishna's, you know, told him all this.
Yeah.
It's really interesting how, I mean, he just, like, gets in Mother Yashoda's head and actually... It's just like bit by bit, he's articulating exactly what she, it's like he's being dictated to, exactly what she's thinking.
Yes, actually Prabhupada is like that, but also this is there in the commentaries by Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami, okay, and Vishwanath Chakravarti. They all say the same thing in their commentaries, that Mother Yashoda going through these various stages of belief or disbelief or questioning herself. So another point I wanted to make about this is that when we're preaching to people, then it's necessary, Prabhupada says, necessary to bring them to the point that they don't understand anything. Prabhupada said, I don't have the exact quote, but Prabhupada was saying that we should approach someone and say, oh, you're so intelligent. You understand everything. No, not under understanding. You're so intelligent, but basically, you don't know anything. First you praise someone, then you bring them to the point they don't know anything. Because if someone thinks they know something, like Prabhupada said, it's difficult to teach someone to play the piano if they actually try to teach themselves. First they have to unlearn what they already learned. So Krishna consciousness for those who are actually humble, one has to come to the point of humility. And here you see Yashodamaya is actually being very humble about the whole thing. She's not thinking, you know, I know what's going on.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with too much education. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about that. Too much knowledge makes one as foolish as an ass. So it's true. And you see, like, even devotees in the past have actually succumbed to this illusion when they study Sanskrit. It's that, you know, they start to think after a while that they know more than Prabhupada. You know, because Prabhupada's purports and translations are generally purported translations or Prabhupada's, you know, emotional ecstasies. They're not always just the literal translations. Mm. And so it's a great danger. We've seen so many Sanskrit and Bengali devotees succumb. There was one of my ex-god brothers who became the enemy of Prabhupada. Prabhupada said he became an expert in Sanskrit. Prabhupada said he's become a snake. And to this day he goes on the internet trying to criticize Prabhupada. You see this all the time, so one has to be very careful. Of course, like I said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, too much education can make one as foolish as an ass. That's his quote from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Of course, we're interested in education, but one has to be very careful and humble at the same time. Not thinking, you know, I'm more educated than... I mean, just like, for example, I'm always thinking of my godbrother, Jayananda, who was educated materially, but really he didn't quote any Sanskrit verses. Probably didn't even know. And then there's the whole story that Prabhupada tried to teach him how to chant the Gayatri Mantra. And after, you know, three or four or five attempts, Prabhupada said it's useless. You know, because it's useless. So therefore, when he was chanting the Gayatri Mantra with Tsimal Krishnamurti, he finished real early, and Tsimal Krishnamurti said, "Why'd you finish early, Prabhupada?" And Jayananda said, Prabhupada, you know, told the whole story. He said, "I was simply thinking of Prabhupada, meditating on Prabhupada." And, you know, Prabhupada indicated that Jayananda went back to Godhead. And Jayananda's classes were extremely simple. He was always talking about what you have to have faith in the holy name. You have to be absorbed in the holy name. It was all about the holy name, about Lord Jagannath sometimes, but basically about the holy name. It was very simple, no Sanskrit verses at all. Very, very simple devotee. But because he had full faith in Prabhupada, Yashas, Dibhakti, Bhagavacha, Kinchana, Sarvad, Vinas, Tetra. So, one who has faith, Yasha Devi Pura Bhaktir Yata Devi Tata Guru, Dashai Te Katitari Arta Prakashan Te Mahatmana. One who has faith in the Vedic literatures and faith in the spiritual master, then everything is revealed to one. So we're not so much interested in becoming erudite and juggling words. Although, you know, people can learn Sanskrit, get a PhD, and use it in Krishna's service. That's wonderful. But if one just gets bewildered, Janmai Shraya Shrutasya Shivir, Edavana, Adapuma, these things bewilder one, according to Queen Kunti. Opulence, material opulence, and learning too much learning, or bodily beauty. These are bewildering factors. So anyway, so one has to be a little humble. Not a little humble. Very humble. Srinada Pisanichina. Tarodi Vasihishna. Anyway, so any questions, another question, or comments? Yes?
When you were speaking about the Brahmacharis, the girl as illusion, or how we see the world as illusion, it's what struck me in my mind when you're saying that is, it's the idea that we can enjoy this world.
Yes,
that's the illusion.
That's the illusion, not the girl. The girl's not an illusion, but that she's an enjoyable object is the illusion.
That we're the Purusha, and we are so stuck with this that we go out and look at everything in this world as something for us.
Yes.
Instead of something for Krishna.
Our attraction is the illusion. Of course, our attraction to use something in Krishna's service may not be an illusion. But sometimes we think we can use something in Krishna's service, but actually the real motivation is to enjoy it. So we have to be really careful. You know, like a man may look at a pretty girl and say, "Boy, we could really chant Hare Krishna again." And preach. Well. Or someone may look maybe at the grocery store and see a mango and say, "Krishna really wants to eat this mango." I mean, Krishna may want to eat the mango. I mean, it depends on your level of consciousness, too. You know, I go to the grocery store and I buy things for my deities. But actually, the person may really thinking, "I would like to eat the mango," you know. And offering to Krishna gives me an excuse to enjoy it. So you have to be, it's a fine line sometimes. So we have to... Anyway, we have to be humble enough to question our own... Like, Yashodamaya, that's the point I'm making. Yashodamaya is doing... She's questioning her own, like, some vision, what she's seen. So we have to question our motivation in the same way. Because we are not pure devotees like Yashodamaya. Yashodamaya is more than pure devotees. She's a Parshada. But, so we just question, why? What is my motivation? Is it because I want to control... Is it because I want to enjoy? You know, this, devotees should be like that, introspective. Yeah.
There's
run the microphone.
And flip it on.
I believe this is from Roman Spanish philosopher.
Yeah.
Seneca.
Seneca. Yeah.
Who said? I only know that I don't know my past.
That's good.
In regards to acquiring kind of material knowledge, the more one acquires, the one more can realize to be someone that doesn't know anything.
Good. Yeah, I've realized that as far as my scientific knowledge, because that was my specialty. The more I realize, get knowledge, the more I realize I don't know anything, the more I realize they don't know anything. Like that. There's one thing we do know. I mean, everything in the Shastra, and also, was it Cogito Ergo Sum? I exist. I exist, and we know Krishna exists, because this is perfect knowledge being transmitted by people who do not have the defects of the conditioned souls. So this is what we know for sure. But we can never know Krishna 100%. But what we know from Shastra is true. So, I think we have to end. I don't know that you're all sitting there. I do know. Yeah, you have to trust yourself to a certain extent.
But when Descartes said that, it was after a whole argument which brought into question the existence of everything.
Yeah.
At the very end of the whole argument, he just said, God wouldn't just fool me because God is good. Therefore,
yeah.
I think, therefore, I exist.
I think, for, yeah, cogito ergo sum. And then, he can base his whole philosophy on that one axiom. Because you have to have some axioms.
So God wouldn't cheat.